Hey, happy Friday. Thanks for joining me. I'm Carla with Raised to Walk, and today we're going to be talking about how we can know God's plan for our life and what we do when it looks like we're in the middle of the mess. But before we get started, a little bit about this channel. Here we share good thoughts about good words. And on Fridays, I host a live Bible study on Instagram on Raised to Walk, and then I publish usually two videos a week. I publish a replay of that Bible study video as well as a video about books. So that is what I normally do, but things have not been normal lately because I've been in the middle of a little adventure and I've been helping some Afghan Christians in Pakistan escape the Taliban. But I'm not going to get into that right now. I started doing some live stream updates on Sundays just to kind of give an update of what's going on there. So I don't have to talk about it incessantly other places. So if you are interested in any of those things, Bible studies, videos of books, and also immigration adventures in Afghanistan, then be sure to subscribe. So this is a new series. I'm going to be calling this Straight Pathways. I'm going to publish this in a book a little bit later this year. And this is going to be about how we can know God's will for our life and how we can hear his voice and really get good direction and know that we are on the path that we are supposed to be on. Now, I do want to say that sometimes we can be in the middle of a mess and it's because we've made some bad choices. And the mess is really the consequences of our own actions, right? And I do want to say that if you're in a situation like that, where you know that you are dealing with some hard situations that are entirely due to your own actions, you know what? Life happens. We all do that. And the best thing to do is just acknowledge the stuff that you did, decide you're not going to do it again, and then say, God, please help me out of this mess. And the thing about God is, like, he is amazing, and he knows that we're going to be doing that ahead of time, and he has already worked out his good plan for your life. He still has a good plan for your life, even in spite of and sometimes using those, what we've learned in those hard situations. I do have a review on my channel of a book called Now, Then, and Everyone, and it's a science fiction book. It's time travel. Honestly, the book itself, I loved it in the beginning. It got kind of disappointing at the end, but the thing I did like about it is that it really illustrated the concepts of Molinism, which is some thoughts about how God works out his plan in our life, you know, the providence of God, while still allowing for true libertarian free will. And I'll link to that if you're interested. There's some other comments on Molinism in that particular video. But that's not what we're talking about today in this lesson. This is going to be about those times when you really do want to be knowing and seeking God's will in your life. So if you're in the middle of something or you have to make a decision about something, how do you know it's God's plan? So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Now, all that chapter gives some really good advice about how we can live a good life. But I want to focus specifically on verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Other translations translate that as that direct as make smooth your paths. And I take that second part to mean that God will not only guide you, but that he'll open the way and allow you to go on that path. But what about the first part of verse 6? In all your ways, acknowledge him. So what does that mean? Now, until I literally started writing this and started writing out this whole lesson, I'd always taken that to mean to confess him as Lord, to like let people know that you are Christian, that you're a believer, and if you do that, then God's going to open the right doors for you. That's what I thought it meant. And I think that is partly true, But I don't think that that is, I just realized this as I was doing the lesson, I don't think that's the core meaning of this passage. I think what it actually means is it's not about being a hidden Christian. The verb that's translated as acknowledge is the Hebrew word yada, and this is the Strong's translation. Now, if you're not familiar with Strong's, it's basically a concordance with every single word in the Hebrew and Greek Bible, and it will have a number, and then it will give you the root of it, the meaning. If you go online, it will show you like all the places that those words, that particular word is used in the Bible, and it will tell you how it's translated. So as you're looking at some of these words, you can kind of see how it gives you a sense of what the Hebrew word means. So in the whole full context of it, because sometimes Hebrew words will be translated a little bit differently in English because, you know, no two languages have a direct one-to-one correlation. So I'm going to read this. This is actually a longer description, but just listen to this and then let's look at what we think God is saying in this verse. So it's a primitive root to know properly, to ascertain by seeing, used in a great variety of senses. Figuratively, literally, euphemistically, and inferentially, including observation, care, recognition, and causatively, instruction, designation, punishment, etc. It means acknowledge, acquainted with, advise, answer, appoint, assuredly, be aware, or unawares cannot, certainly, comprehend, consider, convey, cunning, declare, be diligent, can cause to, discern, discover, endued with, familiar, friend, famous, feel, can have, being, ignorant, instruct, kinsfolk, kinsman, cause to let, make, know, come to give, have, take, knowledge, have knowledge, and be or make known and be learned. So perceive, privy to, prognosticate, regard, have respect, skillful, shrewd, can man have of skill, be sure of surety, teach, tell, understand, have understanding, will be, wist, wit, and want. So this is how this word yada is translated in different verses. So you can see that, you know, it's used in a lot of different ways. So after reading that, what are your thoughts about it? So it seemed to be more about seeking God's will, seeking to know Him and His will first, and asking Him to guide and direct you, than just acknowledging, hey, yeah, you know, I'm following God. And maybe that's obvious to everybody else, but it wasn't obvious to me. So I went to my go-to translation, which is Young's Literal Translation, and that's what I read when I want the most literal word-to-word translation in English that I can find to see if I'm, you know, my understanding of it is correct. And Young's Literal Translation translates it as, in all thy ways know thou him, and he doth make straight thy paths. This was translated in 1898, so it sounds like it. Okay, so which seems to be in agreement with that understanding, that the verse actually means to have knowledge of God, to seek God's knowledge, or seek what He wants for you in everything that you do. So what does this look like practically? Because we can say that, but what does this actually mean? How in our day-to-day life do we actually do this? Are we asking Him to send us an email or a text to let us know what He wants us to do? You know, so how do we do this? And so I'll be honest, I don't always do this. And just in the past couple weeks, I realized, you know, there were a lot of things that I thought seemed good and thought like, okay, yeah, I think this is God's will. This is what I should be doing. Like these things that just kind of fell into place, like just seemed like the synchronicity of God, because that's how He works a lot of times. You know, through synchronicity, He brings things about. But what I've just realized in the past couple weeks is sometimes some of those things can also be a misdirection. It's not God's, it can seem like a good thing, but it's not God's best plan for us just because something just happens in your way. Sometimes the happenings can be a way to get you off path. The problem for me is I have a tendency to get myself like overcommitted. Like a friend asks me to do something and I will just, you know, if it's something I can do and, you know, I want to help them out. And so I do it and I get myself like way overloaded way too often. But sometimes there can be things that, you know, are good things that are going to be a big project. It doesn't mean that just because it's a lot and it seems like it's beyond this or is a big commitment that it's a no. It's like, so how do we know? How do we know what God's will actually is? So a few years ago, it's been more than a few years ago, but at one point I volunteered a healing room and there was a lady in the training that said, well, I'm just here because God told me, you know, to be here. And I was thinking, oh, wow, that's cool, because I didn't even ask God if I should be doing it. I just had heard all the stories about people and like what they were seeing at the healing room. I'm like, hey, if that's going on, I want to see it for myself. And so I just did. I didn't even ask God about it, which I probably should have, but I didn't. Like I said, I don't always ask. I need to be. I think I'm getting better about asking, but a lot of times I commit before I ask God about it, which I need to change that. And, you know, when I applied for admission to an apologetics program, it was something that I wanted to do, and but I had no idea how I was ever going to make that work, as, you know, a single mom, and I was 2,000 miles away from my family, and it seemed like, you know, it was a wish that, like, oh, that would be so cool someday. And I actually remember the day I applied. It was New Year's Day 2015. And I had been following, you know, the program, you know, what they were doing. I have a video about that on my channel called The Book That Changed My Life by Luis Marcos, if you want to watch a longer story about it. But New Year's Day 2015, and I had been following kind of what they were doing at the apologetics program at HBU. And I read that Lee Strobel had just come on staff at HBU, and I was like, oh my goodness. And I was thinking, I have no idea what's going on there, but whatever it is, I want to be part of it. So I filled out the application, sent off for my transcripts, filled out the FAFSA, and I said, God, if this is something that you want me to do, then you're going to have to open the door, not keep it shut. And I really didn't even stress that much about it. There were some weird things that happened, like getting my recommendation letters and things like that. And I was just like, well, God wants me to do it. He's going to work it out. I don't even know. I mean, and it was just things kind of, it wasn't like super easy. There were still a few obstacles to get through. Just kind of had to continue to work through them. But I wasn't really worried about it because it just didn't even seem like it could even be a reality. And the day that I got my acceptance letter, I had just been out of, I'd been out of town, got back on a Friday, came in on a Monday, and I get the acceptance letter, and it was 2 weeks before term started. I had never even been down to the university before. It was just like jumping in the deep end. And there were so many times I thought, God, I have no idea what I'm even doing here. I have no idea, but I know He worked it out, because otherwise, you know, sometimes I think, I don't even know how I got accepted. Although I did have really good grades as an undergraduate, so maybe that's why. But it was just God opening the doors. I had to take action and walk through the doors, because I was just thinking when I read that that story, I thought, you know, if this is something that I want to do, I need to start taking action towards it, because nobody's come knocking on my door asking me to go, you know, to this program. You know, I'm going to have to start moving in that direction. And so, you know, that's what I did. I just took the next step, and you know, then the problem came up, you know, with the application, and just did what I needed to do to get past that, and then just continue taking the next step. And that's really the way it was all the way through the program, because again, you know, I'm a single mom, like working and trying to juggle everything, and it wasn't easy. Sometimes it seemed really, really overwhelming, but I also wasn't doing it alone. I had, you know, people at my church that were encouraging me, and I had friends that would like pick up my girls from school when I was on the other side of town, you know, in a class. And so it wasn't something that I went through alone either. I mean, I had to take action. I had people that were encouraging me, But still, you know, it was God that was opening those doors for me. And getting through the program, it was really an exercise in endurance. I'm learning to persist through, because it was a very intense program, just in general. A lot of reading, a lot of writing, even apart from the rest of life, because I had a pretty full life even before I started the program. And sometimes it just seemed like I'm not even sure how I'm going to get to the end of the week with everything I needed to get done. But it was just, you know, just go through and you read the next page, write the next reflection. It was really like word by word, line by line, you just take the next step. Just take the next step and just keep going. And the other thing that I learned was to learn how to ask God for help. Because there were so many things in that program that just seemed like they were so far beyond me. My undergraduate degree was in marketing and advertising management. I've been doing reading in church history, but I was in classes with people who had, you know, spent half a lifetime, you know, reading philosophy and the Western canon of literature. And I am sitting here just trying to catch up. I had to do a lot of extra reading just to be able to participate in the essays and the discussions and just try to be on the same page. And there were so many times I was like, God, you just got to help me with it. I don't understand this. I don't know what to write. You just have to help me. And you know what? He did. When I realized that a reflection was due in like 3 hours, I was like, God, you got to help me. I don't know what to write. And his thought, this is a lot of times, this is how God speaks. Just this thought that will come to your mind. It was a fountain in Trevi. And I was like, okay, that's weird. But I looked it up and I was like, oh, I see what I can write about this for this reflection. And that reflection was later actually published in the third edition of an unexpected journal on courage, strength, and hope. When I had to write an essay exam on abstract objects and the aseity of God, and I'm not even grasping what the terms meant, I was like, God, you gotta help me. And he said, read Job. And I'm thinking, God, I have to understand Neoplatonism. Why read Job? And again, the answer is, read Job. And I did. And hey, you know what? God was right. There happened to be in the book of Job in my New Living Translation, a Life Application Study Bible, an illustration that perfectly explained the concept I was having trouble grasping in that class. It's like God knows what we need. And if we ask him, he will give us the answer so that we can understand or learn or achieve what we need to do. And all of this was in a program that I was just taking because, man, I just think this is going to be fun. And I had no idea how I would apply it or what I would use it for in the future. I was like, you know, this sounds like fun. This was a desire of my heart. You know, like I just wanted to do it. I didn't really have a reason or a purpose to apply it, but God opened the doors and I went through it. Sometimes it's the thing that you really want that is part of God's plan for you, because those things that make us just feel alive and that we thrill to do, that's part of how he made us and who he designed us to be. And those things that he made us to be fit into his plan for our lives. We're each wired in a very particular way, so that when we're doing the thing that God has made us to do, that he designed us to do, that is living. That is when we feel most alive and we are the most fulfilled, because that is what we're here for. That is when we experience the fullness of life that we're meant to have. And this is what Jesus meant in John 10:10, when he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it," some translated as "more abundantly," and the NIV translates it as "having it to the full." He came that we might have a full life. And then later in John chapter 15, verse 11, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy in you may remain, and that your joy may be full." That's the point. Yes, eternal life is the point, but also the point is that so we can have a full life today, that we can know that we are not only in communion with him, but that we are doing what we are meant to do, and that we have that joy as we go, as we're going through this process of life. So when Jesus came and lived a life, a perfect life, showing us how to live in relationship with others as well as with God. And when he died on the cross and rose again, so that he could be the perfect sacrifice to atone for their sins, so we can be in relationship with God, that we can be free of the burdens, free of all the mess and the junk, as Paul says, the sin that so weighs us down, that we can be free and rid of it, and that we can live that full life in joy. But going back, how do we know what God's plan is for our life? So we can have these desires and these abilities and skills. But like I said, sometimes we can get misdirected on that path because, you know, those good things that God has created in us can be applied to, you know, many different areas. And not all of them are God's plan for us. So let's say you're going along and you're in the middle of the mess. So Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse that many people go to when they are talking about God's plan. This is the NIV translation. For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Sometimes you'll hear some pastors that will say about this verse, because this is a verse of promise, right? That God has good things for us. But they'll say about this is that, oh, this is just for Israel at that time. It doesn't apply to you. And you can't have this, and that's just being all new agey and prosperity gospel-ish if you think that actually applies to you. What do you think? God wants good for you? You think he wants you to have peace and hope? What are you thinking? So does that sound familiar? Way too common, isn't it? Pastors that are supposed to be preaching the good news are all too often paint God as this sadistic being who just likes to see us suffer. But it seems pretty clear to me that Jesus had the same things to say. Yes, God is good, and he has good for us. So this is the context of this passage. In verse 10, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So yes, the message of that passage is still for us, but it has nothing to do with any sort of prosperity, gospel, or name it, or claim it. If you actually ever get a word from God that is Jeremiah 29:11, then you probably should buckle up and get ready for a little turbulence, because he's giving you a warning that there's going to be some trials before you get to that good plan. That's what Jeremiah 29:11 is about. But the promise is that even when you're going through some difficulty, that God will see you through it. It's a warning to prayer, but also a promise to hold on to that hope. So when we're in the middle of that, when we're in the middle of the difficulty, what is it that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to just take the next step. So there was a point early on when I was helping the Afghan Christians in their immigration journey where I was completely overwhelmed by all of it. And I was overwhelmed by the scope of it. I was overwhelmed by just the magnitude of the impact it had on the lives of, you know, the people and the seeming impossibility of it all. Anyone I talked to that actually knew what they were doing, because I didn't, and I knew nothing about any of this, but anyone I talked to, they were all like, you know, it's, you know, immigration is a mess, it's impossible, it's just not going to happen. That was what I was being told. But also early in the beginning, I had been getting all these synchronicities, these things that just happened, these synchronicities of God, things that just fell in my lap, these connections I could never have made on my own. And I saw how God was bringing those connections to me. And I had been through another situation like this before when it just seemed like it was a big overwhelming project where we were told by, you know, people who knew better that it was all too big, too much, too soon, too fast, that we couldn't do the thing that we were trying to do or wanting to do. But in the end, it was the same thing. God brought those about, and I was seeing the same thing. It wasn't exactly the same. The situations were really not similar at all. But when you've seen God move in one area, you recognize it. You recognize how he works. You recognize it's the same feel to it, and you can see it. And that's what I was seeing. You know, I could see the hand of God moving, but it was still overwhelming. Even just seeing it, just the crazy connections, even that was overwhelming. And I understood, like, why God holds himself back from us, because the enormity of who he is, it can just break you. It's just overwhelming. And that's kind of where I was for about a week. I was sort of in a funk, and I wasn't really moving forward in it. And I was discouraged, not because there were really any particular obstacles, but just because it was so much. It just seemed like too much. Another part of it that was weighing me down was I couldn't see how it would work. Like, I knew we would need to get them somewhere, right? But I normally, when I am working on a project, I can visualize it. I'll see it in my mind, and then I'll, like, break it down into parts. It's like, okay, what are the things that need to happen here? And then I'll make a plan for it. But I couldn't see how it would work. I couldn't see the path. It just seemed so fuzzy and dark and cloudy. I couldn't see how it would work, and even the way to start to go. During that week, I was spending time on some other things just to, you know, try to be productive as I'm not working on this. I am working on other things, and someone shared a Facebook video and then right after that, this other video started just autoplaying, and it was of Steve Harvey, and he was talking about a time in his life when he was trying and having no success, and he was at the very end of his rope, and then he gets a call that turns out to be his big break, but he couldn't even get there. He didn't even have the money to be able to get to this big break, and it just seemed like it was at an end. What he did do, he took the next step that he could do, and then that in turn led to being able to get to the performance that ended up being his big break. But that step towards it, that was the beginning of the turnaround. And that was the beginning of the shift, like when his life changed. And his message was, don't give up. Just take the next step. Just do the next thing. Do the next thing that you can do. That video was part of what helped me get moving again. Like, just this encouragement to just take the next step. It was that video and also story about some kindergartners and a petition. I'm not going to share that today. Maybe I will some other time. I still didn't know how it was going to work out, but I had emails I could send. I had phone calls I could make. I had things I could research. And so I just took the next step forward, even though I still didn't have a plan or even a clear picture of how it was going to work out. So as I was researching for this video, another video by Steve Harvey came up. And in this video, he's really talking about the same thing that Jeremiah does in chapter 29, verse 11. It's about when your process is part of God's plan.
Everything you're going through is preparing you for what you ask God for. You just got to quit tripping while you're in the process, because the process is necessary. You may not see it now, but when he gets you on the other side of it, you're going to see exactly why it went that way. And you're going to be okay with it. But quit tripping during the process. Oh, Lord, why me? You ain't the only one. Pull yourself together and quit tripping because you're in the process. God is processing you. He ain't through with you. That God I serve that done this for me, he'll do the same thing for you.
So this is true. you know, it's not just, the plan isn't like, you know, we start here and here. The process is actually the plan. And part of that process is that we learn to know God in the process. That's really what the message of Job was that we went over, was it last year? It's 2021, I guess. But Job began in the dark night of the soul. But through the struggle, through this trial, he really got to know the God that he served. So often when we're going through a hard time, we say, God, why me? Why did you let this happen? And sometimes, again, the hard situation is because we're experiencing the consequences of our own actions. You know, we have really, why do we talk to God, you know, blame God about that when we're the ones, we know that we're the ones who made the choice. But sometimes those difficult circumstances are part of the plan. The difficulties are part of the process that God is preparing you to be able to handle the good he has in store for you. We have to be built up. We have to learn how to handle things. Like some, if people have never gone through a struggle, the odds are they're not going to be able to handle the bigger things, the bigger pressures, because they haven't learned how to handle the smaller things. And so they wash out and they quit. They can't handle the big stuff because they've never had to struggle through small things. If he gives us a station and the status, without the equipping and the training, the very least that will happen is that you'll wash out personally. The worst would be that you'll cause devastation or harm the people that that position allows you to impact. Moses had to spend 40 years in the wilderness learning humility, learning how to follow God, learning how to listen to God before he was ready to lead the Israelites, go the path that God wanted him to go, rather than Moses following his own idea and way. The difficulty isn't the end. It's just part of the process. It's not the good end. The difficulty is part of how you get to that good end. And if you want to move through that process sooner, then just acknowledge that that's what it is. Recognize that God is developing something in you that is necessary for you to be able to really fulfill what he's made you to be in the place where he has intended you to be. Recognize it, that it's necessary. Ask him to help you learn what it is you need to learn, and leave behind the thoughts, behaviors, and actions that are holding you back. And thank him that he's working his good plan in your life. So that's the first part of the series on like how we can know God's plan for your life. Again, if you haven't subscribed, be sure to do so now. You can sign up for updates on my website at racetowalk.org. And also, if you would like to support this ministry, you can go to racetowalk.org/give. But let's just end this time with a prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you are a good God that has good plans for us. Help us to be quick learners. Help us to have, help us to be good hearers. And Father, give us a joy and excitement along the way, and a confidence that we are fulfilling your plan for our life. Give us a faith to trust in you as we're going through the process. And we thank you, Father, that we will see and participate in your good end for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next time.